All right, on this Monday morning, last week, of course, was Boat Week here in Port Huron, and talked an awful lot about what was going on with Blue Water Fest and the Port Huron to Mackinac race, and kind of lost in that a little bit. I feel like we didn't have enough time to talk about the Webb Space Telescope that was sending back its first images last week at the Longway Planetarium over in Flint. They had a big celebration of those images and brought a lot of people in to view them there at the planetarium, and to hear more about it from the planetarium's manager, Patrick Ross, who we have on the line with us right now. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
These images are incredible and really significant. Tell us what you thought when you first saw some of these images.
Well, when I first saw the images, I was absolutely blown away by not just the clarity of the images themselves compared to the targets that were taken with Hubble, but also just the sheer amount of stars and background galaxies that we were able to see. The James Webb Space Telescope is the most sensitive instrument we've put into space, and it really shows when we're trying to take a look at these new images.
Yeah, I mean, to try and explain exactly what we saw would probably take an eternity, but kind of encapsulate for us what it was that that we all had an opportunity to view last week.
So there were a few different images that were released, but they shared a common theme. One of the images, the Carina Nebula, was a stellar nursery. This is the place where new stars are being born. And previously, as the new stars are being made, they're encapsulated by dust and gas out into space, and we can't see them clearly. But using James Webb, it was actually able to peer through the dust using infrared light, so we finally have some images of stars being formed. But we also had several images that encapsulated or had galaxies in the background. These are some of the oldest galaxies we have been able to take a look at. One of the deep field images that was released had been able to capture an image of a galaxy that is 13.3 billion years old. And just on its first image, James Webb has already been able to set a record with that galaxy.
That is just mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Especially when you consider that those images no longer exist, and it's almost, in a way, like time travel looking at these images.
Yes, it's a strange thing looking at these images, knowing that so much time and effort and money was put into this telescope, and you see such fantastic things out into space, and you throw out the terms of, oh, these are billions of years away, or these are several light years away from where we are now, but truly trying to understand the fact that we are looking back into the past. And if we were to be able to just magically head over to this area of space, it no longer looks the same, and it has completely changed from one of the actual images that we're seeing.
That being the case, Patrick, what's the point? What do we hope to learn and achieve with these images?
So the fact that we are looking back in time and further out into space truly does give us the opportunity to time travel. So as we try to understand the universe, how it was formed, the astronomical and cosmological aspects and implications of the creation of the universe, we have this handy tool of the further out into space we can see, the further back in time we can go. So when we are looking at galaxies that are 13.3 billion years old, we are looking at galaxies that were the very first galaxies formed after the creation of the universe. And this lets us study the dynamics, the structure, the evolution of the galaxies, how we were able to go from that first initial point all the way up to today.
Incredible. Just absolutely amazing. What were you doing over the weekend at Longway? You had some special events, and do you have some other events coming up as it relates to the Webb telescope?
So we currently, well, this past weekend we had some special lectures on Friday and Saturday that were discussing the purpose of the images, some of the science behind them, why the targets were chosen. Fantastic turnout. We don't have any scheduled events coming up this week. We do, however, before all of our shows, we have the images up on the planetarium dome, taking up the entire screen for any guests that wanted to come in and see the images in the planetarium. And we also have a series called Skies Over Michigan. This is run on Tuesday through Sunday at 3 o'clock. And this is sort of a traditional planetarium show where we talk about constellations, planets, stars, but we also talk about current astronomy. So even though we don't have a dedicated lecture for Webb at this time, Skies Over Michigan, we will be talking about the images and the telescope during that time slot.
Yeah, plenty to discuss there indeed. What's next for the Webb Telescope? Are we going to see more images in the months and years ahead, do you suppose?
So a few images have already been released. There was one that was a testing image of Jupiter, and you were actually very clearly able to see the rings of Jupiter, which is something that even Hubble has a hard time doing. And there were a few others released as well, mainly testing images. But it is sort of a open question of how often are these images going to be released to the public? Because we need to keep in mind that this is primarily a scientific instrument, and scientists are putting their careers out to get time on this telescope. And these are discoveries that are going to lead to things like Nobel Prizes. So we don't, the scientific community doesn't necessarily want to immediately release all of the data to the public. But just like Hubble, we will get into a flow where we constantly have images released. For reference, if you get time on Hubble, if you're a scientist and you have time to use Hubble, you have the data for about 6 months to a year before it goes public.
So, this really is like entering into a new age of astronomy, isn't it?
Yes. For the past probably decade or so, any astronomy course that I had taken through the master's degree, a few other places, every astronomer, when they were talking about their research, was saying the next place we're going to go with it is using James Webb. It is an instrument that is able to pretty much advance any part of astronomy, whether you're talking about stars, galaxies, globular clusters, nebula. I mean, anything you could see out into space, we're going to be able to benefit and get a further understanding from the James Webb Space Telescope.
So, so interesting, so exciting. We talk about this all day, I'm sure. If people want to know more about the Longway Planetarium and plan their trip over there, what are your hours and what's the best way for people to get more information?
Yes, so our hours, we have shows currently running in the summer from 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Tuesday through Sunday. And then we have a few evening shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 and 8 p.m. The best way you can reach out is either through our social media or directly through our website. We have all of our shows listed. If you aren't able to get onto the website or anything like that, you are also welcome to reach out directly to the Longway Planetarium. Our phone number is 810-237-3400, and then that will get us to our front desk. And if you have any specific questions about the telescope, they can be forwarded off to myself.
All right. Very good. Pat, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on.
You bet. Bye-bye.